Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the course of our lives, many of us have set goals for ourselves in many areas. And sometimes we have found that after hard work and after a great amount of time and of effort and of money, we have not achieved those goals. The results, the outcome, was not what we expected. It was not what we desired. And while there may have been a number of reasons why those goals were not achieved, one reason may have been that we did not take the right steps in the right way in order to achieve that goal. And as important as some of those goals may have been to us, there is nothing more important than for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ to take the right steps in the right way so that someday when we stand before the Lord, we will have achieved the goal of being pleasing to Him while we were here on this earth. So now is the time to take those steps, isn't it? Now is the time to make those decisions in order to achieve those results. And in the passage of Scripture that is before us today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight concerning the steps that we must take, the decisions that we must make, because the outcome of those decisions will be with us forever. Therefore, Paul begins in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, since Christ now lives within us, since He walks among us, since He has said that now He is our God, and that now we are His people, we must make a clean break from the thinking and from the behavior of this world. We must seek to be obedient to Him. And we are told that He will welcome us with open arms. He will pour out His blessings upon us. He will be a father to us, and we will be sons and daughters to Him. Therefore, Paul says in verse 1, since we have all of these promises, beloved in Christ, since we are so dear to Him, let us respond to His love for us. Let us respond with gratitude, with thankfulness, and let us make every effort, he says, to cleanse ourselves. Katharizo in Greek. Let us prune away the debris in our lives, the sin that so easily gets in the way and entangles us. Let us remove all of the defilement, he says, malus mas in Greek, all of the stains, all of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, the things that we can see and the things that no one except the Lord can see. Our appetite for the things of this world, the things that are not pleasing to Him. And so he says, let us relentlessly seek to perfect ourselves. Epikaleo in Greek. Let us move forward step by step towards the goal of pleasing him by abandoning our compromise with this world as God works in us, separating ourselves from that which dishonors him, living in holiness, hagiosune in Greek, set apart unto him, in the fear of God, in reverence, and in awe of him. These are necessary steps for us to take in our journey as those who belong to Jesus Christ. And Paul tells those in the church in the city of Corinth, these are necessary steps in your journey as well. So he says, let go of your feelings of distrust for us. He says, make room for us in your hearts. Leave a place for us in your minds and in your affections for us. For we have wronged no one. Apikeo in Greek. We have not acted wickedly and harmed and hurt anyone among you. We have corrupted no one. Thyro in Greek. We have not led anyone astray by leading them into immorality. We took advantage of no one. Pleonekteo in Greek. We haven't defrauded anyone. We have not manipulated anyone for our selfish gain. In fact, we have sacrificed ourselves for you because of our love for you. I do not speak these things to condemn you, Paul adds in verse 3. Katakresis in Greek. I'm not passing judgment upon you. I'm not giving up on you. But I'm just trying to help you. As it says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. For just as I have already told you, you are in my heart. You are in our hearts. We love you with the love of Christ. We're committed to you, to die together with you, and to live together with you in mutual love, in mutual friendship, in loyalty to each other. We're in this together, being sustained by Christ himself, who now lives within us. And despite all that has happened, Paul says in verse 4, amazingly, he says, great is my confidence in you. Parousia in Greek. I openly and freely trust you because I believe that God is still working in you and conforming you to the image of Christ. So great is my boasting on your behalf. Kalhesis, I sing your praises to everyone. I'm filled with comfort. Paraklesis in Greek. I am greatly encouraged. In fact, he says, I am overflowing with joy. Even in all of our afflictions. But thinking back, Paul reflects on this. When we left the city of Troas in search of Titus, and we came into the province of Macedonia, there were many opportunities for ministry there. Still, in our flesh, we had no rest. I had no joy. I was agitated. I was distracted in my spirit, even while we were being afflicted. even while we were under the pressure from every place, on every side, there were conflicts without the Mahe in Greek. There were adversaries all around us. There were heated debates. We were unwelcome there. And he said there were fears within us. There was anxiety in my heart concerning you. But God, who comforts the depressed, Taphanes in Greek, the one who encourages those who are low to the ground, those who are downcast in spirit, he comforted us by the coming of our good friend Titus. And we were relieved to know that he was well. And we were not only comforted by his coming to us, but we were also encouraged by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, that you received him as a messenger of God. So he has brought good news concerning you, that you have taken the right steps in the right way, as he has reported to us, namely, verse 7, your longing, epipathesis, your desire to make things right. It was their desire to restore their fellowship and their relationship with Paul. And he spoke of your mourning, I dormas in Greek. Your weeping, your grief over how they had not stood with Paul. They didn't stand together with him when those attacks came against his character that surfaced in the church in Corinth. And Titus also spoke of your zeal for me. He adds in verse 7, zelos in Greek, the intensity of their love and of their concern for Paul. They reaffirmed their loyalty for him, and they desired to reestablish their bond of love with him. So that, he continues, I rejoiced even more. For though I had caused you sorrow, lupeo in Greek, though I had caused you grief by my severe letter to you, I do not regret writing that letter to you, metamelomai in Greek. I did not change my mind about writing it even after I sent it to you, though for a time, he says, I did regret it, thinking that I might have been too strong in my words to you. For I see that my letter caused you sorrow. And I felt that pain in my heart as well. Though Paul says, I only felt it for a short while. And now I rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but I rejoice because you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. Metanoia in Greek. Through that chastening, as difficult as it was, you took action. You changed your mind. You changed the direction of your lives. There was no bitterness. There was no defensiveness. There was no wounded pride on your part. But you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that there might be spiritual healing and restoration, so that there might be transformation in your lives, in order that you might not suffer any loss in anything through us, but that you might receive all of the blessings that God intends for you to have both here and in eternity. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God, godly sorrow, sorrow for their sin, sorrow, yes, that God intended for them to feel. Well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Sometimes God intends for us to feel sorrow. Because if we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, if we are in tune with Him, then it produces something in us, Paul says. It produces repentance. A repentance without regret. A metameritas. We are glad, even in our sorrow. We are glad that the Spirit of God has changed our perspective. That He has changed our thinking. That He has helped us to change the direction of our lives. And this is true repentance. This is the type of repentance that leads us to salvation. But, Paul says in verse 10, the sorrow of the world, that kind of sorrow, only produces anguish and despair and hopelessness, like the sorrow of Judas Iscariot when he betrayed Christ. So it only produces death. But behold, Paul exclaims in verse 11, not you. What earnestness, spoude in Greek, what diligence, what eagerness this very thing, this godly sorrow has produced in you. They were eager to make things right with Paul and with the Lord. What vindication of yourselves, he adds. Apologia. In Greek, they cleared themselves of any wrongdoing and of their guilt. What indignation. Aganaktesis. What anger. They were angry at themselves. They were outraged over their sin and over the shame that they had brought upon the name of Christ. What fear of God. Fear that they might bring the chastening of God down upon them because of their sin. What longing, he says, epipiesis. What an overwhelming desire to make things right. What zeal. Zelos. What fervency. What intensity for holiness. What avenging of wrong. Ekdekesis. What a desire to make restitution for the wrongs that they had committed. Wow. Isn't that something perhaps we need in our lives? In everything, Paul points out, you have demonstrated, you have proven yourselves to be innocent in the matter. Hagnas. You are free from any defilement because of your repentance. And although I wrote to you, it was not only for the sake of the offender. It was not only because of the one who had caused so much grief in the church in Corinth. He says, nor did I write only for the sake of the one who was offended. And who was that? Well, that was Paul, wasn't it? He says, it wasn't so much for me. But I wrote for your sakes, that your earnestness, that your eagerness, that your loyalty on our behalf might be made known to you, that you would see your true feelings towards us, seen by you and in the sight of God who sees all things. For this reason, we have been comforted, Paul says in verse 13. We have been encouraged. And besides our own comfort, we have rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed as well. Anapao, he has been given rest by all of you. For if in anything I have boasted to Titus about you, about your obedience, that you would repent when you were confronted with your sin, I was not put to shame. Kathaskuna. I wasn't humiliated. You didn't let me down. I wasn't disgraced in my assessment of you. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting concerning you before Titus proved to be the truth. And so now, his affection towards you, splaghan, his feelings for you overflow all the more as he remembers your obedience, the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and with a sense of awe and with respect. And Paul says, yes, even with trembling, as if they were receiving Christ himself. So I rejoice, he says. I am glad that in everything I have confidence in you. Thareo in Greek. I am encouraged by this outcome, that in taking these steps, in taking the right steps in the right way, you have brought joy and hope to my heart in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray that may be able to be said of us as well. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.